Men and women this evening, in the Gospel I want to preach a message that I simply entitled, A Dying Man Rejecting Mercy. A dying man rejecting mercy. We often hear of messages and sermons at missions and harvest thanksgiving services and other means of men coming to preach the Gospel on the penitent faith. The one who realized he was lost. The one who realized that he needed to be saved. But we don't often hear as much preached about the man, his partner in crime, this thief that was lost, and yet tonight, he's still lost. Tonight this man is lost in God's hell for all eternity. And a woman, as I was contemplating and praying and asking God to show me what to preach on and to bring to the Gospel to you dear folk tonight in Kilkeel Free Presbyterian Church, my mind was taken to words in the Old Testament by those four leprous men. Those men in the Book of Kings, I believe it is, when they said, "Why sit we here until we die? Why sit we here until we die?" Then I was thinking what it says in the book of Ezekiel. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Men and women, as I contemplated those verses, why sit ye here until ye die? My mind was in overtime thinking of individuals. Individuals in the canon of Scriptures from Old Testament to New Testament that were well warned. That were well witnessed to. But tonight they're lost. Lost. No hope. Without God and the Word, no hope. And you tonight, sinner, what a privilege you have. You tonight, sir, that's come in through the doors tonight. Doors that have been opened to preach the Gospel of Christ. And yet tonight there are men and women. And they're in God's hell. And yet tonight you've got an opportunity to come and flee from the wrath that is to come. My mind was focusing on Lot's wife. Lot's wife, down in Sodom and Gomorrah, in a hand of an angel, being hastened by an angel, in an angel's hand. And man and woman, she was well warned. The word she was given was, "Escape for thy life. Escape to the mountain, lest I be consumed." What more did she need? The hand of an angel in her hand. Escape for thy life. Escape to the mountain, lest I be consumed. And tonight she's lost. And imagine those words echoing in the corridors of God's hell. Escape for thy life. Escape to the mountain, lest I be consumed. I'll tell you, man and woman, Jesus Christ, the greatest preacher that ever lived, you remember one day in his earthly public ministry, do you know what he said? Remember Pontius Pilate? Didn't say it. Remember King Agrippa? Didn't say it. The Lord of glory, whom the Spirit was poured without measure, he comes and he says, "Remember Lot's wife." A woman that was well warned, and tonight she's lost. Lost. I was thinking of another man. I was thinking of a man that was not only Lord twice he was well worn, but I was thinking of a man that was well witnessed to. And his name was Felix. And Felix sent for Paul. Don't miss that little phrase. Felix sent for Paul. Paul didn't send for Felix. Felix sent for Paul. A man of God. The chief of saints. The greatest preacher that ever lived apart from Jesus Christ. And Felix comes and he sends for Paul. And the Bible says he sent for Paul and heard him concerning faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." I sent for this man of God. And the man of God, he preached the truth. And he brought the truth from to him. And here he was trembling. What's he doing tonight? You don't think the words tonight echo in the life of Felix as he's lost? "When I have a convenient season, I call for thee." He didn't realize Scripture. Seek the Lord when he may be found. Call upon him when he's near. He was near that day, but he's lost. Lost. And my mind was brought to another one of these characters that was well worn, well witnessed to. And there's this day in faith that I want to focus on for the remaining moments of this meeting. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "Men and women, the treatment of our Lord Jesus Christ by man is the clearest proof of total depravity which can possibly be discovered." Did you notice as I read the Word of God that three occasions they said, "Save thyself. Save thyself. Save thyself." Did you notice? I'm sure you have. Of the contradiction of sinners against himself that he endured at the place called Calvary. "For you, sir. Aye, you tonight in Kilkeel that's been born again of the Spirit of God and washed in His blood, He endured it for you." And I'll tell you, men and women, in Psalm 69, I believe it is, the Bible says He looked for some to take pity and there was none. And they looked for comforters and there was none. There was none that day outside the city walls of Jerusalem that took pity in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was none that day that comforted the man of sorrows, the Lamb of God, the Lord of glory. None. And the Scriptures, men and women, record but one case of deathbed repentance, one that none may despair, and only one that none may pursue. How many times have you often heard, "Oh, I'll get saved on my deathbed, will ye?" Who told you that? We're looking at a man tonight and he's only moments away from God's great and God's vastest eternity. And there he goes, and in his last words I'll tell you, he's not coming for salvation, but this man's reeling in Christ. He's despising Christ. He hates Christ. That's why tonight, if you hear the voice of God ministering, speaking to your soul, don't strive with your maker. Come as a humble sinner to the feet of the cross of Calvary and there bow in submission and tell God you're a sinner, you're lost and you're near damned and you need salvation. I want to show you first of all tonight the thief's condition. You see, man and woman, it's very interesting the names that these thieves are given. I believe they're given to show how wicked and how sinful these men were. In Luke chapter 23 and 32, the word malefactors is a Greek word that means criminal, evil doer, wicked, bad. In Matthew 27 and 38, it's the Greek That's the word thieves, and it's the Greek word that means brigand. That means they were a part of an armed, they were armed thieves and usually a part of a group. And I just want to throw it out, and it's only a preacher thinking. Because that's what it means, brigand. It means they were a part of a group. And I just wonder if you knew the one that was released instead of Christ, Barabbas, a notable prisoner. He was a murderer. He was a thief. I wonder, was he part of the group? You see, in Isaiah 53 and verse 12, it speaks of transgressors, how that Christ was numbered with the transgressors there at the cross of Calvary. On either side, on his left hand side, on his right hand side, he's numbered with the transgressors. The word transgressors, it means to rebel. It means to offend. And I'll tell you, men and women, these men, the Romans didn't put men on a cross just because they had done some little petty crime. These men were ungodly. These men were sinners through and through, wicked, sinful men. You see, that goes a grain in the earth against most of our society today in Ulster. That's why the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, most men proclaim their own goodness. Oh, I'm not as bad as Jimmy across the road. I'm not as bad as the pedophile. I'm not as bad as the murderer. I'm not as bad as the adulterer. And yet we live in a land that cries and longs for equality. I'll tell you, men and women, God gives you equality, for the Bible says that the whole world is guilty before God. And here's a man, he's guilty of breaking the commandment, thou shalt not steal. And he's guilty. You, me, and I, a few years ago, were building a bungalow. And built her house, and her brother was in one night, and he's a joiner, and he heard noises up in the gables of the house. And he says, David, I think you've got problems, you've got bats. And Yumi the next day rang Batman. And that was a man out of Armagh. And he was to come and to speak to me and to show me how to deal with them and sort it all out. So Batman came at 9 o'clock at night, half 9 at night, from South Armagh. And I never had an opportunity to present the gospel to a man like him. Oh, an out and out Roman Catholic. And I says to Batman, we'll just call him Batman, I see some of your smile, but I just said to Batman, I says, tell me, I says, have you ever told a lie? Look, he says, David, now come on. We've all told a lie. I says, in your own words, before Almighty God, what does that make you, sir? A liar. I says, that's right. I says, tell me, Batman, have you ever stole anything? As I have. I says, no, I'm not asking you how much it cost what you stole. I'm just asking you a simple question. Have you ever stole? He says, I have. I says, what does that make you? He says, a thief. I goes, no. That makes you a lying thief. That's worse. I says, tell me. Have you ever lusted upon a woman? Have you ever sat in your vehicle on a hot day and I says, you ever looked at a woman and I says, have you committed adultery in your heart? He says, David, of course I have. I says, sir, do you know what that makes you? That makes you, out of three commandments, a lying, thieving adulterer. I says, Batman, before I asked you those questions, you told me you were good. I've 7 more to ask you. And to spare your blushes, I says, sir, you have broken and violated the other 7. I want to tell you, men and women, we live in a society where men will proclaim their own goodness. This man had sinned. This man was paying for his sin. And we live in a land, and we live in a day, and we live in a generation where men think that they can sin and sin and sin. Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, please. I believe it's the book of Ecclesiastes. I'll find the verse when you're turning to it. Yes, it's Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse number 11. And the Word of God says, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." Did you get that? Men think because they have committed adultery on the wife, and the wife doesn't know about it, sir, God knows about it. God sees it. God's recorded it. "Therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." And I don't know how much robbery this man had done. I don't know how many times he went out with gangs and how many murders he had committed and what he had done and what he had stole. But can I suggest to you that here was a man, and maybe after the first, the second, the third, fourth big job he got away with and he thought he was invincible. But here he is. Here he is suspended between heaven and earth. And these moments from God's hell, judgment is coming. And can I say to you, sinner friend, in this meeting tonight, you have violated God's law. You have transgressed the law of God. You have broken the decalogue day in and day out. And you're lost. And the Bible says in the book of Ephesians that you have no hope without God in the Word. Many a man tonight, and they're depending on their clergy, or they're depending on somebody to say something nice about them at a funeral service. And sure, we live in a day and a generation where it wouldn't matter if the devil was buried, some boy would come and say a few good things about the old devil. Such deception at funerals today. And it'll not matter, friend, what they put on social media. It'll not matter what they put in the Irish News or what they put in the newsletter or the epitaph or any epilogue. It'll not matter. Have you violated God's law and you're a lawbreaker and you're lost and you die in your sin, you'll never be in heaven. Never. Never. Here was a man. The Bible says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." And he's moments away from God's eternity. Moments. And the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, of an angry God. Here's a man, and he's moments away. And he's lost and he's perishing. And I speak to you tonight, unsaved friend in the meeting. You don't know how long God's going to spare you. And God Almighty, the one who you have trampled His blood under your feet day in and day out, the one who you have blasphemed and mocked and laughed and ridiculed, Christ Almighty, He holds your next breath. And God Almighty can call time. Time. God Almighty tonight sends the death angel for you or for me. Who's going to keep it back? Here's a man. What a condition he's in. And what a condition, friend, you're in. And sinner, if you only could grasp it. Sinner tonight, listen to me, please. Listen to me, you're lost. Stop being deceived by the one who deceiveth the nations, who deceiveth all the nations. Stop being deceived. The God of this world has blinded your mind. Sinner, you're lost. Tonight you could die and go to hell. You're lost. See, not only his condition, what about his conversation? If Think about it. This thief, he's moments from death. You think he, like his companion, returned to faith in Jesus Christ. You think that he would now look and speak well and speak fondly of Jesus Christ. But look what it says in verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed in him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." The word "rail" means blasphemed or insulted. Do you remember how the devil said when he was tempting Christ in Matthew chapter 4? Do you remember how the devil done it, and he still does it today? Like in the Garden of Eden, half God said, if he throws doubt, he throws doubt. And that's why tonight there's many atheists, many agnostics, many of those that don't believe, because the devil is damning souls by the multitudes. This man at the cross of Calvary just looks and he insults the Son of God. He insults the very God of heaven. Imagine the depravity of the human heart, that the Son of God, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, the meek and the lowly Lamb of God, and there as he is, hung naked and stark naked and stretched out between heaven and earth, suspended between heaven and earth, and there he is. And this man, he's moments to live, and there he's insulting the Son of God. There he's blaspheming the Christ of God. There he's mocking him. There he's laughing at him. If thou be the Son of God. Notice what he says. He goes on to say, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. You know what he's saying? Come down from the cross, Jesus. Jesus, come down from the cross. Save yourself. Save yourself from the substitutionary work. Save yourself from the shedding of your blood. And come down from the cross, and I will believe you. And there's millions tonight across the land. Millions like Cain. Woe unto them that go the way of Cain. Who was Cain? Only one who despised the blood of Christ. Cain hated the blood. Cain wanted to work his way to heaven. Cain wanted to try all the best that he could do. And yet here's a man, and he's calling Christ, and he's saying to Christ, come down. Come down from shedding your blood. Come down from the substitutionary work. Forget about it. Save yourself, Jesus, and save me. Kindness, thousands of God in Ulster. Man, you need to stand out in the street and preach like this and to think you're a madman. Mad. It's nearly getting to God in God's house when you preach. To think you're mad, don't we? Can I tell you something? Leonard Ravenhill said, do you think when you stand before God as a preacher and you get excited about telling men and women about their need of salvation, that God's going to say to you, then you took the gospel too serious. Then you took the gospel preaching far too serious. And then they said, then you preached too long and you preached too loud. You know what he said? I'll tell you, a sinner dies without Christ and goes to hell. I wish I had to preach far longer and far louder. Here's a man. And he didn't like the substitutionary work of Christ, and he didn't like the shed blood, and he didn't want nothing to do with the blood atonement. Can I tell you, sir? If you ever want to get to God's heaven, thank God. Though the world may say there's hope some other way, thank God tonight I'm depending on the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lamb. You see, what does it say in Lamentations? Lamentations verse 1 and chapter 1 verse 12. Jeremiah, he's lamenting. What a ministry he had. What a ministry. How he wept over the daughter of his people. How he wept over the slain. And he was broken. And Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he's referring to the greatest prophet, the Lamb of God, the Lord of glory. And he says, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold," the word "behold" means pay attention, "and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord have afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger." As Jeremiah viewed, and as Christ on the cross, the greatest prophet, there He is. He's on the cross and the crowd are mocking. You know, they said He saved others, and that's a tremendous truth. In this meeting on Save Friend, it's a tremendous truth that Jesus Christ has saved others. But it's a terrible tragedy that He hasn't saved you yet. And there Christ, as He's on the cross, and they're laughing at Him, and they're mocking Him, and they're jeering. And the Bible says in the book of Psalms, He was just made a song of the drunkards, how the drunkards, they laughed at Him, they sang about Him, they mocked Him. And there He is, and Christ, thanks to those words, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Sinner tonight in Kilkeel, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by?" How many times you've came to this gospel preaching church and you've came in unsaved, unmoved, and you went out unsaved, unmoved. Can I ask you, sir, is it nothing to you? Woman in the meeting that has lived without Christ, that has been held by the powers of darkness, is it nothing to you? Not only His conversation, what about His condemnation? You see, verse 40 in our chapter, the other thief rebukes Him. The other answering rebuked Him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God?" And let's be honest, men and women, we live in a day, a generation where laws have been brought in. We see it, we know it. You wouldn't need to be a prophet or the son of a prophet to come and to tell you that there is absolutely no fear of God amongst the ungodly, and there's very little among the children of God. This man's openly laughing, mocking, jeering, insulting, blaspheming the Christ of God. And the other man, who was with them many a year, doing many a wicked, heinous thing, he says, "Dost thou not fear God?" Notice the silence. Doesn't put up an argument. Doesn't say to the other thief, "Fear him a wee bit." Notice his absolute silence. This man didn't fear Almighty God. And sinner, tonight proof is in the pudding that as you remain unmoved, unsaved, tonight, whether you're listening in, whether you're in this house, the reason why you're not saved is because you have no fear of God. No fear. This man, he had no fear. You see, he didn't believe. That's why he asked, "If thou be the Son of God." That's why the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 18, "He that believeth in Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." You see, David, I don't feel condemned. It doesn't matter what you feel, sir. If you're not believing on Jesus Christ as the only Savior for sinners, you're condemned already. You're sitting in that seat tonight, it condemns you. You go home tonight, you're condemned. You wake up tomorrow, you're condemned. "He that believeth not is condemned already." Here was a man, he was condemned already. Didn't believe. Lost. I was thinking, imagine he didn't take counsel for his own colleague and partner in crime. He didn't take nothing to do with him when he says, we indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man have done nothing amiss. And I was thinking not only of his condemnation, but what about his carelessness? You say, David, what do you mean his carelessness? Listen to me. This man, he's moments from death. This man is moments from meeting Almighty God. This man is moments from going out into God's great eternity. And I was thinking as I was bringing thoughts about this message this evening, I was thinking, imagine his carelessness. You say, David, what do you mean? Here he is. And we thought at the start about Lot's wife, and we thought about how the other man, Felix, he sent for Paul, but here was a man, and guess what? There he is, suspended between heaven and earth. There he is on the left or the right hand side of Christ, and he's condemned, and he's moments to go, and he's going to die. And there he is, he's dying in front of full view of the only sacrifice for sinners, Jesus Christ. Here he is, dying in front of the sacrifice. Man and woman, not only is he dying in full view of the sacrifice, he's dying and gazing upon the blood of Jesus Christ. How the blood ran from the very head of Christ as they pierced the crown of thorns into his head. How his back was like a plough field. That man, as he was dying, he was gazing upon the sacrifice. He was gazing upon the shed blood. I'll tell you, he was gazing upon scriptures. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. This man had it all in front of him. He had scriptures. He had the sacrifice. He had the shed blood. His own partner in crime. This man that had done all things amiss. This lawbreaker. He comes and he sees the purity of Jesus Christ. He had done nothing amiss. He sees the sufficiency in Christ. The other thief, he saw it. He seen the purity. He seen the royalty when thou comest into thy kingdom. He saw the sufficiency in Christ. And I'll tell you what, men and women, he believed in the resurrection. What the disciples could not take in, this man believed that Christ was going to rise again and go to his kingdom. He saw it all. And I was thinking not only, did he die in view of the blood? Did he die in view of scriptures? Did he die in view of the only sacrifice for sinners? He died seeing and hearing his companion in crime turn to Jesus Christ. Ah, don't miss it. He died hearing the God-man pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here was this man, and he's under the sound of Christ praying, Father, forgive them. And this man, he realized he wasn't forgiven. And as Christ is praying, forgive them, it still didn't move him. And then I was thinking, what else did he die in view of? Ah, don't miss it, men and women. As Jesus Christ cries from the depths of his heart, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why? Why hast thou forsaken me? And God the Father forsook His Son that you and I might never be forsaken. And then, man and woman, this man, not only did he die in view of it all, but he died when Christ, the earth was covered with darkness, and there for 3 years suspended the Lamb of God, bearing away my sin and your sin. And this man, he was in utter darkness. And did he never think what it would be like to go to the place of outer darkness? For those 3 years, were those words not ringing, Father, forgive them? Was he not listening to the words, why hast thou forsaken me? This man died in front of it all. And tonight he's lost. And tonight he's in God's hell for all eternity. A dying man rejecting mercy. What about you? What about you that has been brought
face to face with Christ and the gospel, whether in testimony in this house, whether in song, whether by the preaching of the gospel. And tonight you're not saved, tonight you're not redeemed. And you could be lost before I get home to Balati tonight. You could be lost. Lost.
Man and woman, what a day it'll be. What a day it'll be for this man. It's not the end. God will bring him, bring his body and bring his soul. And God will summons this man to the great white throne judgment seat. This man that was so close to Jesus Christ in his death. This man that saw it all. And he seen his thief and his companion. He couldn't work his way. He wasn't baptized. He wasn't dependent on anything solely Jesus Christ. And Christ told him, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. It does away with everything. It does away with soul sleep. It does away with soul annihilation. It does away with purgatory. It does away with all these things. Damnable heresies that are taking thousands and countless of thousands to the pit. Yet what a day it'll be when God, who does require all that is past, what a day it'll be when God will summons this man. God will say, you died in full view of me, the only sacrifice for sinners. You died in full view of the shed blood. You died in view of the Scriptures. You died in view of me praying, Father, forgive them. Why, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You died in front of it all. God will cast him to the second death. Sinner, I don't want you to die and go to hell. As best as a man can plead for your soul, I don't want you lost. I don't want hell from beneath to move tonight at your coming. Please don't be like this man. This dying man rejected mercy. But flee to the God of mercy.